Oh, come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and the Feegs, Jeff Fiegel.
Fiegel's Friday.
Hashtag.
Should be.
That's what it should be.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, too. First and foremost, how's the knee, man?
Woo. All good. I actually thought I might be able to make a comeback the other day, but then I started kicking a couple balls with my son, and that's not going to happen.
No?
No. No, it's doing well, and it's just a matter of time before it gets back to – had a little surgery for everybody that didn't know about 2 months ago. So it's doing well. Feels good.
Fantastic.
How about you?
Fantastic.
Anything? Everything. Good?
Everything's great. Yeah.
We've got a good show today.
Hopefully we will. It just started.
It's going to be. It's always a good show on Friday. Have our normal people calling in, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. We got some re-signings here all around kind of coming here. We got the Giants are active again. I guess everybody's back in town now. Just so everybody knows, I know that walking in the facility, there's a lot of things going on around here. The new kind of, new era, if you will, with Coach McAdoo and the staff.
Are you feeling a difference in the building?
I feel like there's a buildup in the building, meaning like – I think everything's being put in place. I think the coaches are hard at work at putting their practice schedules together for the OTAs. You know, when you have a new staff, you're able to have one extra mini camp. So I don't know when that's going to be, but I'm sure that they're planning for that. Probably be the end of April, I would imagine, right before the draft, I would think. But get the veterans in here. But I kind of a buildup, and I meant to say that, when I came in here, they're doing a lot of different things in the training, in the weight room. They're starting to change some machines around, and the new strength coach in there is doing a lot of things that's going to be under his hat. And
Aaron Wellman,
and I think they're high on him. I think a lot of guys are excited to see what he can do. One thing we know is that this team is historically the injury bug has hit them, and so every team is looking at ways to eliminate injuries, and maybe this guy can come in and do some things that was cutting edge, if you will, but we'll see. But it's exciting. I do feel like there's a buildup in the building. I think people are getting excited for the season. Everybody's excited for what's happened with the free agency, and now we're talking about the draft coming up very, very soon. It is April, April 1st. We're not kidding you. The draft is right around the corner. And did you get hit with any April Fool's jokes this morning?
No, I did not. Thank God, because I'm one of the worst. Like, I'll be on.
I'm gonna remember that next year.
I'll be on Twitter and I'll see something and I'll say, "Oh snap, no!" And then I'll retweet, and then all of a sudden I'll get all these direct messages from like Field Yates and these guys, like, "Anita, that's a fake account. Delete it right away." So yeah, I'm always a sucker for that kind of stuff. So, but not this year.
Today's probably one of those days you shouldn't go on Twitter just to read stuff, right? Just kind of stay away from it.
It did not happen this year. But again, we welcome you in Big Blue Kickoff Live on this fantastic Friday afternoon. It is Fiegel's Friday. Phone lines, the number, 201-939-4513. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and that is hashtag Giants Chat. A special day here at 9 a.m. All the new and old coaches had an opportunity to meet and speak to the media. Or I should say the media had an opportunity to speak to.
Not that they wanted to speak to you or us. But
a lot of these new guys. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that were discussed on the record. It's so funny when you walk up to somebody, okay, off the record, yada, yada, yada. Okay, on the record, yada, yada, yada.
You got to clarify it, though.
Yes, you do.
You have to be
careful. All the stuff that was discussed on the record, I will share with you. I'm going to tee up for you as well because I want to get your responses.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what some of the guys had to say.
To some of the stuff that I heard and witnessed and saw earlier today. And then also, very special guest, Charles Davis from the NFL Network is going to join us at 12:30 today and pick his brain a little bit in regard to the draft. What is he hearing? What does he know? Some of the players out there that, of course, a lot
who
of
are the, who are the Giants picking at number 10?
Yes.
We're definitely going to ask him that.
A lot of Giants fans are pretty excited. So let me do this now. I mean, if you have a specific question you want us to ask Charles Davis, hit me up. Again, hashtag Giants chat and just say for Davis, and I will tee those up for you. And you've got about 24 minutes to do so. So hit us up on Twitter if you've got any specific questions you'd like for us to ask Charles Davis, one of the best in the business, and he's going to be joining us shortly. So, but in the meantime, we'll take your calls. We'll read your tweets, 201-939-4513. Before we went on, I said, okay, so I've got my – this is the OCD in me. So I have my – defensive notes that are highlighted in yellow.
There you go. And the other ones.
And I have my offensive notes highlighted in orange. And I asked you, based on the meetings that we had with a number of these guys, who do you want to hear from first? And you said defense. Everybody wants to hear about defense first.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's kind of where we're going, right? I mean, most of the free agents, if not all of them, have been defense. And so what's Spags got to say about
okay.
this whole thing?
Well, Spags addressed the media. He was kind of last. We had an opportunity to speak to a lot of his coaches, but we're going to start off with Spags first, and he was great. He said, listen, I feel like Christmas. It feels like Christmas around here in regard to, like, all the talent that is brought. It has been brought in. He's pretty stoked about it. One thing that he did say is that because people were asking, well, you know, how does this player fit your system? And he says, well, really don't know what I'm going to install until I know what our final roster is. And I like to hear that because you and I, you know as well as I do, there's certain coaches' philosophies. And one of the philosophies is, this is my system, and I'm going to plug this player in here. I'm going to plug this player in here, and then I'm going to see how they do, as opposed to, all right, well, let me see what I've got, you know. And another thing really quick is that was funny is that he's into initials. So Vernon is OV. Obviously, JPP is JPP. Devon Kennard is DK.
Sure.
So
you better know the names.
You better know the abbreviations because he talks really fast, and it's all about OV and DK and JPP and da da da. Anyway, so he's saying, you know, listen, I need to see what everybody entails here so that I know. And I like that. I like that philosophy when it comes to coaching.
Well, I think you have to have that philosophy, especially nowadays, because, you know, you can take these guys off a different team. They come from different philosophies. They come from different systems. You know, you like to try to kind of recruit and sign guys that come from this basically the same system, in a sense, like a 3-4 or 4-3, but sometimes you don't have that affordability. You know, a guy that you want to come in here maybe to play outside linebacker, you might have played inside linebacker. So what he is saying is true. You got to get these guys around. That's what all these training OTAs are all about, the mini camps, the extra mini camp that these guys are going to have. And Coach Spags can get an idea of how these guys can fit into his scheme. And one thing you like about it is because he's not saying to the people that this is my system, this is what it's going to be.
Gosh darn it, you're going to make it work.
Yeah, so I think in today's market, in today's NFL, that you have to be able to evolve, and you got to be a little bit of a game changer in the sense that you got to try to work with these young guys and get them to play positions that maybe they don't want to, but let's just see how it works. So that's good. It's good to hear. I like it.
Another, which has been a hot topic, is okay with OV here.
Are we going to start calling? He's OV. Okay.
Listen, if Spags calls him OV, I'm going to call him OV too.
Okay.
OV as well. So with OV here in regard to JPP, JPP's played that right side of that defensive line. How's that going to work? Are they going to mix it up? And he said, well, we don't know. Okay, I mean, maybe we'll mix them up, but right now we know that's JPP's spot. That's where he feels comfortable.
Fine.
You know, and
he played a little bit on the left side too last year, a little bit. So I mean, you're not going to expose that. Just like Coach McAdoo's not telling anybody who's calling the plays.
Well, we're not there yet. Okay. We're not on to orange yet.
Okay, sorry, not on to the orange side. I didn't mean to jump ahead to the orange.
Yeah, you dudes do that all the time.
I like the orange though.
Yeah, you guys probably read books like from like chapter 16 back.
They bounce around.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it matter? If you read the whole book, you're going to read all the chapters eventually.
But here's an interesting, and I understand, like, you know, you've got JPP who again, like, you know, he's had to learn a whole different skill set now because of what's happened to his hand.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to maybe limit his production or, you know, his growth in that regard if you do put him on the left side?
I think, again, let's just see how he can adapt out there.
Another thing Spag said is, you know, one thing that's he's not hearing a lot of people talk about is the fact that, like, keep in mind, like, the Giants didn't get JPP back until, like, later on in the season.
Of course.
Now he's going to be in here for OTAs and
training camp.
And what in it, beyond just the physical attributes in regard to how he's healing and what surgeries he's had and how that might help him with the grip and all that, but even more so having him here a lot of people aren't talking about that, but it's true. Having him here through OTAs into camp is going to be really significant.
System.
Yeah.
He's only here for half the system. You know, now he's going to get a whole install because they're going to do it again for all the new people coming in. And basically it's going to be a little bit of a refresher course, but a big learning curve to help him will be this offseason and going into all the OTAs, like you said. Because you know what? He did well. I was actually very impressed with the way JPP played last year. You know, he got a lot of QB hurries. He was still trying to figure out, you know, how to play football with the injury that he had. And I think now that he got a little taste of that, now he's going to get into the system a little bit more, and I think Spags will put him in a position to be successful.
And now here's where, obviously, a lot of talk, and I'm sure with the Big Blue Kickoff shows that you've hosted, because it's the first one you and I are hosting in the offseason, and that
no,
is
second
in,
one.
In oh, who's counting?
I am. I wouldn't want people to call in and say, no, I saw you guys 3 weeks ago, Anita.
Was it 3 weeks?
Yes.
But the safeties. And there's a lot of talk. I don't, you know, the shows that I host with Lance and Paul DiTino and John are,
safety.
You know, why? What about Reggie Nelson? Bringing in a veteran guy like Reggie Nelson? Why aren't the, you know, what are they going to draft a safety? Whatever the case, Spags communicating the same thing that McAdoo communicating the same thing with Jerry Reese, and that is
we like our guys.
Like they're and they're calling them redshirt freshmen. Because it's exactly what happened. We're talking about Bennett Jackson. We're talking about Nat Burhe, Mikel Thompson. These are guys that this organization feels has the potential to be that player with on the opposite side of Landon Collins and being a starting safety. They believe in one, two, all three of these guys. Spags talked about one of these guys surfacing to compete and make that starting job to work beside
like last year.
Landon Collins. So – you know, there's some hefty expectations for these guys.
And this we're kind of going into the season like we did last year. This is what happened last year. They were all going to compete for the two spots.
Mm-hmm.
And as we went through it, we ended up having, I mean, you had some days you had, you know, Landon Collins back there with Nat Burhe. Then some days you had, you know, Bennett Jackson with Landon Collins. We never know. And then all those guys get hurt. And then you know what happened. But I feel Nat Burhe is the guy that the Giants want to win that spot. And I think that they have the most confidence in him. They were very impressed with Bennett Jackson coming over from the cornerback position into the safety. And we'll have to see how those guys progress. They got a little bit of experience, and now they are their redshirt year, and now they got to come back and compete. So the Giants are obviously in the mindset that we have these guys, we drafted them, we believe in them, we want them to step up now.
So Giants fans need to you know try to get on board with that because it looks like that's the direction that this organization is headed. It's going to be one of those three guys.
And is that going to be enough? I don't know. And in my opinion, it's not. I think that there's a veteran missing, and it's to be determined whether it's now or when we get into training camp. I still feel that you know, that's going to happen. That's just me.
Spags also talked about 00 and the excitement. He's another redshirt freshman. Keep that in mind and the excitement for him coming into the season as well. He talked a lot about 00, got really excited when he talked about him as well.
Well, I think that, you know, this young man, he obviously got hurt, and I think there was high expectations of last year for him. He got to learn the system from the classroom, if you will. And so now he's going to have an opportunity to try to get in that rotation. Because when you think about who is behind JPP and who is behind OV, these guys come into mind.
Kerry Wynn and 00.
And now you talk about the draft, and we'll get into that. And you know, is that a need position right up at the top of the draft for the Giants to go after another defensive end? A lot of people seem to think it is. But where is your depth? So this 00 has got to come in and earn that.
And again, Charles Davis is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes, so we'll definitely dive into that as well. And last but not least, in regard to defense, had an opportunity to catch up with Tim Walton, who's the cornerback's coach. This is his second year with the organization, and I asked him about Jenkins. Now, know this, that Walton, before coming to the Giants, coached him with the L.A. Rams.
Then the St. Louis Rams.
Right, got to get used to saying that. And I asked him, I said, well, tell me, what kind of player is this guy? Kept on saying competitive, loves to compete, loves the game. He's a playmaker. He brings that playmaking mentality.
Well, we know that.
And also, one thing that you hear a lot about guys on this team, and we've talked about, and that is having that leadership in that locker room. Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, Antrell Roll. A lot of that kind of that edginess that was needed in this locker room that was lost when those guys left, and no one really has stepped up and filled that role. Apparently, from what I understand from what Coach Walton was telling me, is that Jenkins is that kind of guy, that dog kind of guy that a lot of guys in the locker room have been wanting and have been missing. He might be able to fill that role. That edginess, that swagger, that kind of that cockiness.
And speaking of role, that's when he left. That's where that leadership left the locker room last year. When Antrell left, there was a void there. So, Jenkins would be really a nice thing for him to come in and take over that role, because that's certainly the team in general. Let's not just stick on the defense. The team in general lacked leadership last year. And I think that the team this year in free agency, the coaches and the staff and everybody wanted to go out and find guys like Jenkins to be able to come in and have that type of leadership, because you cannot play in the National Football League on a team that doesn't have any leaders. It's not going to work. You got to have guys policing the locker room. You got to have guys pushing each other from within. And if you don't have that, look what happens. You lose.
Coach Walton was saying that's one of the things that Jenkins does bring into this locker room.
I'm glad to see
that kind of mentality and that swagger.
They need it.
So that's exciting to hear. 201-939-4513. I do have some offensive notes. I'm going to share those offensive notes after we have Charles Davis on as our guest. Let's take some calls. We've got a full bank, and also I'll be sharing your tweets as well. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. We kick it off with Vic in Florida. He wants to talk about free agency. Vic, welcome.
Hi, Vic.
Good afternoon, Jeff and Anita.
Hello.
I have one question that is kind of bothering me. 3 or 4 years ago, I'm not sure of the year, but we had the tight end, Marcellus Bennett.
Yep.
Okay? Then he was doing pretty good with us. Now, I don't remember if he was that good of a blocker at the time, but anyway, Reese let him go, and we got this guy, Brandon Myers, from the Oakland Raiders, who only lasted 1 year. Now we had an opportunity to pick up Marcellus Bennett again, and we need a good tight end, and they let him go to the Patriots. What's up with that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how a lot of this stuff goes down, if he was available. I know at one point in time when John and I were speaking about this about a month and a half ago, a caller had brought it up that what about Marcellus? And we didn't, at the time he was under contract with the Bears. So I don't know what happened there. Did he get traded to there? I don't know. What happened? Marcellus Bennett.
Martellus
Bennett.
He went to the Patriots.
Patriots.
Yeah. So yes. I don't know, where the Giants – listen, we just do
and
the
Chandler,
show.
Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones was a part of that trade deal that went down.
So it was a trade then, yeah. So I figure, that I don't have the answer to that, Vic. I really don't. But, I'm all for it. I'm all for getting a guy like that. I always have been from the beginning of the offseason. The tight end position to me is one that needs to be upgraded. And, I just don't think that the guys that are on the roster now are that caliber of – I love the way that Eli Manning can play with a tight end like Martellus Bennett and like Boss and like Ballard. Those type of players really has helped Eli over the years. And I just think that it's something missing in this offense. It's already pretty special.
Okay, and one more question that I'll make it real quick. I understand the Giants are visiting with the former cornerback Cardinal Powers, is it? I'm not sure of the name.
That's news to me. I'm not aware of that.
I just read about that. I don't know if how serious it is. He is available. He's a slot corner, and he's also played on the same side as is Patrick Peterson. So, you know, I just – he's a free agent out there, and I don't know if the Giants are looking at him or not, but I just had read that he's, you know, making the tours, if you will.
Okay, thank you, Anita, and thank you, Jeff. For
you got
guys
it, Vic. Thank
super.
You.
Have a good day.
You
and
too.
A good weekend, okay?
Same
you
to you,
same.
Vic. Just to make a comment here in regard to the tight ends, I had a chance to talk to Gilbride Jr., who's now the tight end coach, and I asked him, I said, with Will Tye and the way that he kind of finished off the season, is it going to be his job to lose? And he said, no. He said, it is going to be a battle. It is going to be a competition.
Good.
Larry Donnell is going to have an opportunity. It's not going to be Ty's job to lose. It's going to be an open battle at the tight end position. And he said he's pretty excited about
and,
it.
And we don't know, you know, the health of Larry Donnell, what's going on with him. So hopefully he can recover and get back on the field to compete. So because, listen, he is the big target. And you talk about Bennett, they're about the same size. You know, and I think that obviously Ben is a little bit more of a seasoned veteran, but as far as the height and their ability, I mean, that's what I like to see, that big tight end for Eli.
Let's go to Bob. Bob, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Bob.
Hi. Happy Friday, and thanks for taking my call. I'd like to talk about the 10th pick in the draft.
Sure.
And I have three guys that I don't want the Giants to pick, and I'd like to hear your comments about them. And then I'll follow it up with three guys that I would like to see the Giants pick. The first guy would be Ezekiel Elliott. I do not want the Giants to pick him because, in effect, he would be a two-down back because the Giants already have Shane Vereen, who's the best third down receiving back in the NFL.
Okay.
Second guy I don't want is Vernon Hargraves. I know Nita likes to, go on the internet and check out stuff. Well, check out a YouTube video of Hargraves versus Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper, now he's a good back, but a good receiver, but there's a lot of good receivers in the NFL that are as good or better than Cooper. And Cooper absolutely torched Hargraves last year. And the third one I would not like the Giants to pick would be Leonard Floyd. He's a tweener. He doesn't fit with the Giants. And his production on the field does not match what he did in the combine. The man only had four sacks last year. We don't need that out of our 10th pick. So, those are the three guys I don't want. You know, I don't know if you have any comments about those three.
Well, I'll quickly, the last of the three, I think that, you know, I don't think a lot of people are looking at his statistics in college as the barometer for him being drafted as high as some people have him. I think they look at his upside. He's a pretty special athlete, and I feel that, you know, most scouts and people, we can ask the our guest coming up soon what he thinks. But I feel like that he's a guy that can, you know, that might surprise some people in this draft. That would
okay.
be Leonard Floyd. So who are the three you think that the Giants should be drafting?
Giants, if Ronnie Stanley makes it to the Giants, they absolutely should take him because, you know, you don't get franchise left tackles that often, and I think that's what he is. Second one would be Emmanuel Ogbah. Now, most people have him rated in the 20 to 30 range. I think he's a 10. He's a defensive player of the year in the Big 12 twice. And he's got double digit sacks, and he backed it up at the combine at the 10 yards, which is all you really care about for a lineman. He is as fast, and you can check this out on the internet too. He was as fast as Floyd and as Hargraves. This guy's a defensive end. He runs as fast as Hargraves. I don't know how you can, you know, I don't know why he's not rated higher, but I would definitely pick him at 10. And the third guy, assuming he can pass the psych test because he's a known head case, is Robert Kembeche. He's got athletic ability compared to defensive tackles like Miles Jack has to linebackers. It's just that he's somewhat of a nut job. So if he passes the test, I might pick him.
All right,
Bob.
So
I like one of the three there. I think the other two guys are not mentioned in the conversation a lot because there's something going on with them.
Right.
Maybe Charles will know, but I feel that Stanley. I've been I'm on the tight ends, and I'm on the offensive lineman for the Giants. Those, I know they're not going to get a tight end and high in the draft, but the offensive lineman, to me, I feel like if he's there, you take him. And in that way, the Giants can shore up this offensive line. They've got two bookend guys now. If they do draft a left tackle, then we're going to have to make the switch to Flowers over to the right side, which he played. But, you know, do you want to do that? The kid from Michigan State, too, is another one that I like. I don't have my computer in front of me, and I don't memorize all these guys, so they're college people.
Let's go to line three. Aaron is calling in from Rochester. Aaron, welcome.
Yeah, how you doing, Anita?
Hi.
Figgles, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
I just want to have one quick question. Is Jalen Smith, do y'all think he will get drafted, or do y'all think he will be one of those ones that you pick up after the draft?
Oh, I think Jalen Smith is going to get drafted, right? I
mean, Jalen Smith, he will more than likely get drafted. This is the thing. Apparently, there's a new, you know, health update on him that's coming out. It is a risk. If he had this is what's really insane. If he had no injury,
okay,
hands down, we'd be talking about him being the number one overall pick, let alone top three, top five, yeah, right?
Exactly.
But because of this injury and the fact that this injury might be,
it was late,
long term.
Yeah.
And not only late, but long term. I mean, those apparently, from what I understand, those nerve endings have to regenerate in his foot. So, you know, that is too much of a risk to draft him in the first round. I'm hearing that more than likely he won't go until the fourth round. That's what I'm hearing. But he has first round, if not number one overall ability talent. But
exactly.
it's gonna come down to a team who
take a flyer.
Who likes to gamble. It's gonna come down to a team who's willing to gamble to see, you know, will he ever be as good as he was.
And whether,
well, yeah,
to me,
my theory is, go ahead.
And to me, that fourth round is a gamble. I think that's a true gamble.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, fourth rounders can still be pretty productive for you. I think five, six, seven.
Yeah.
That's where I would gamble with a pick, something like that. That's me.
Yeah, because I was thinking because I know the Giants only got six picks this year.
Yep.
If he's around maybe in the fifth or sixth, would y'all take a gamble on him? That was going to be my question to ask. If he's around in the fifth or sixth round, being that we only got six picks, would you take a gamble on him, even though you know you might have to redshirt him this year or so?
I say no, and because of the roster that the Giants have now, I think that the draft at those later positions, we're starting to fill our depth and development, and I don't want to have to sit there and wait on somebody, even though he could work out for me. I just think in the win-win situation now, we got to have those solid draft picks, and so that's just my opinion. As far as, I don't think they would, whether they do or not, I don't know. But,
yeah.
You know, but it is a risk, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if it does hit for some team, then man, they hit it out of the park, you know. But it is something they have to take a risk on. So, because he's a pretty tremendous athlete.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to line four. James is calling in from New York City. He wants to talk about the draft as well, Feeks.
Good segue. There we go.
All right. Hey, Anita. Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
Hey, James.
It's okay. Well, number one, yeah, I wouldn't touch Jalen Smith at all because, I mean, his injury, you just don't know. I mean, with this team, I mean, and plus, even though a few years ago, I think the 49ers took Lattimore, and like same situation, and he's done.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
so
a tough one.
I wouldn't do it, but number one, I mean, with the other gentleman saying about Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, if you have a chance to get Elliott, and if he, let's just say he's as great as Le'Veon Bell or Adrian Peters, you can't say, okay, I won't get him because we have Shane Vereen on the roster.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
Shane Vereen is good, but he's not, a great player, you know. So,
there's no reason why you could not have Elliott in the backfield with Vereen at the same time.
Right.
I mean, it's not out of the question, but
right.
Yeah. I, you know, I, and I've said this before.
Thank
and I,
you
sorry,
for the call, by the way.
And this draft, I'm very interested in to see where and how the Giants address this, because typically in the past, the Giants have always gone with, instead of need, they've just gone with talent. Who's the best one on the board? But with what they've done in the draft defensively, and this being a heavy defensive draft, I'm just curious if that philosophy changes a little bit this year, and maybe they go with a more of a need player than the guy that is high on the board.
Well, we're going to bring on a guy who's going to shed a lot more light in regard to possibly what the Giants do, and that is good friend Charles Davis. Charles, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Myself and Jeff Fiegels, really excited to have you on board today. Thank you so much.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Man, this is an exciting time for
you. Yeah, we're excited.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, it's like a holiday for all of us who are in the football world, right? And it's one of those ones that the anticipation builds and builds. And here's the best part about it. In most holidays, you have to spend money to get what you want. In this holiday, all we're doing is spending, you know, brain power, brain cells, and having a good time talking about it. There's no financial outlay for us. The outlay is for the teams. So yeah, it's a lot more fun that way.
All right, well, let's kick it off first and foremost. There's so many mock drafts out there. I'm looking at the one on NFL.com. Of course, Charles Davis is a part of NFL.com. You can find him on their network. And right now, as the Giants pick at 10, you have them selecting Kevin Dodd, defensive end from Clemson. So if you can, kind of shed some light in regard to why do you think the Giants are going to get him at 10?
Well, he's going to be a guy that a lot of people think you're going to get later. Mm-hmm. And I liken him a lot to Ziggy Ansah coming out. Not a ton of experience, limited production, although his last year at Clemson he had excellent production. It wasn't just the national championship game where he had 3 sacks, 5 tackles, and was all over the field. He played really well that year. But everybody's going to go, hold it a second, it's a one-year wonder, it's a one-year workup. Kid played 1 year of high school football. Him going to Clemson was like a shock to his system, and it took a while for him to adjust.
Wow.
I remember when Ansah came out. You talk about coming out with less experience, okay? You guys like, what am I doing from another country? What is this sport? What's going on? You saw the raw ability. I remember when he went high, I remember a colleague of mine, Daniel Jeremiah, said, he's going to go in the top 10. I was like, how can you take him in the top 10?
Never
done. He doesn't even know how to put his pads on yet. You know, what's going on here? And they're like, listen, with his athletic ability and his ability to go after the passer, well, the Lions took him, you know, in the top 10, and boy, did they hit well on that one. So we shall see. It's a bit of a gamble. It's a bit of a projection. You know, in past mock drafts, I've had the Giants taking, I believe, Shaq Lawson there, who's less of a gamble because he's a guy that you've seen play more football. But I don't think he's quite as explosive as Dodd is in terms of getting to the quarterback. He just has better football. Instincts is the wrong word, but better football experience to date and a thicker frame. I also had the Giants taking Ezekiel Elliott in another mock draft. So you guys know how mocks go. You know, you work your way through them. You do different things at different times, different needs that fit. All I try to do is make it somewhat plausible.
How about, you know, we just had a caller earlier before you got on here, Charles, asking, you know, a little bit about Leonard Floyd and how, you know, he really didn't do well last year, 4 sacks. We don't need a guy like that. I figure that, you know, the scouts and these organizations, as much as due diligence they do on these players, I think that they see something in this kid that a lot of maybe the fans don't see. Can you comment a little bit on this, on Leonard Floyd for us?
You saw Leonard Floyd playing a lot of inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not usually conducive to getting to the passer. He had to fill some needs for his college team that he won't have to fill in the NFL. And when you pop him on and you see him at outside linebacker and you see him rush the passer, you see what people are looking for. You see length. You see explosion off the ball. You see the conversion of power to speed and sometimes even what I call speed to power, where you have to finish off a play. But he's got a variety of moves, although he could obviously use more. And you can just see there's a frame that can add some weight without losing speed and quickness. And I think that's what people are seeing. Sometimes you have to take the numbers and set them aside.
Yeah.
Because they don't always tell the true tale. You get that with Joey Bosa a lot, too, from Ohio State. How are you going to take a guy who had 6.5 sacks and say he's a premier sack guy? Well, you know, when he had Noah Spence on the other side, the guy had almost 13 sacks. So sometimes you have to be able to combine these guys and pair them with the right people.
Charles Davis joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm really big on Miles Jack. Again, looking at your NFL.com, the mock draft, you and two other of your partners there at NFL.com have him going 5 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. However, Pro Football Focus, actually, their latest mock draft, Sam Brunson's, has him falling to 10 to the Giants. Charles, is there any way possible?
Anita wants this guy really
bad. I want this guy so bad, Charles. Is there any way possible Miles Jack falls to 10?
You know, Anita, I would ordinarily say no, but I've been around these drafts long enough, as both of you have, that you know surprises happen on draft night, that you go, whoa, didn't see that coming, right? I mean, we could cite chapter and verse on all those. I remember just last year when Brandon Scherff went number 5 to Washington, and that set off the biggest roar to start the draft because we're saying, Jose, Leonard Williams is still on the board.
Right.
You know, the kid from USC that many of us thought might even go number 1, number 2 overall.
Yeah, Jets were pinching themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So the scenario can happen. I mean, if we go through it really quickly, let's say Tennessee keeps a pick 1 with Tunsil. You go ahead and you protect Mariota. Number 2, Cleveland. They're not convinced with, even though they picked RG3, they go ahead and get a quarterback. They take Carson Wentz at 2. You go to 3 and you're sitting over San Diego. Okay, they got a few options. Let's say they take DeForest Buckner at 3. All right, they decide to go that way with the big kid out of Oregon. At 4, you're sitting there with Dallas, and Jerry Jones has said, we're not taking a quarterback. Okay, Joey Bosa. All right, we send Bosa there. At 5 with Jacksonville, it seems like Jack, that is like the landing place. So many of us see it.
Right.
What if they change up and say, you know something, we're still trying to get our secondary right. We go Vernon Hargraves and we stay in state.
Or offensive line.
Because you know, or they go offensive line and they go, let's say Stanley. Mm-hmm. Jeff, let's say Stanley out of Notre Dame. Okay, because they're not feeling great about what they're getting out of Luke Jokel because they hadn't played that well. All right, so we'll give them Stanley there at 5. At 6, you end up moving down to who's got 6 again?
Baltimore.
That's Baltimore. Baltimore is at 6. Okay,
that's tough though because they saw what Ray Lewis. They saw what Ray Lewis meant to that team for several years, and now you've got
Remember this: they didn't take Ray Lewis until the late 20s.
That's right. They took Ogden first.
They took Jonathan Ogden first. Mm-hmm. So I think that Baltimore wants to get defensive line help, mm-hmm, first and foremost. That's just the sense that I'm getting, that that's where they want to go to try and get their identity back at being Baltimore as opposed to going there. So we could go through all this, and believe me, all of us have, including you two. I know you have. You've looked through all these things.
Not as much as you have.
The answer is yes. It can happen. Do I expect it to happen? The answer is no, because of what he did on his limited pro day. Guy jumped 40 inches, and his knee's not 100% yet. And I thought it was the best move he ever made was canceling the rest of this stuff, saying we're not going to do anymore. There's no reason to do it. Get your medical recheck. That's all you need to know about it, and then go from there. Look, we saw Todd Gurley not go through anything and still go number 10 in the draft.
And he did pretty good.
He didn't do anything. and I think that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah.
And this is less of a knee injury, although I hate to say that because – it's like saying, you know, that's minor surgery. What do they say? Minor surgery is what they do on someone else, not on you. So, you know, I don't like to combine it that way. But it is by definition less of a knee surgery on Miles Jack than it was on Todd Gurley. And Gurley's was later in the process. Remember, Jack was done in September. Gurley didn't get his knee injury until mid-November.
Right.
So he should be ahead of the pace, and he appears to be.
We, you know, on Big Blue Kickoff here, we've been talking a lot of free agency, a lot of draft mostly, but we feel that the sentiment amongst many people is that this draft is very, very heavily on the defensive side, which for some teams that went out like the Giants and really rolled out a big barrel of cash for the guys that they have, some of us, including myself, are hoping that because this defensive heavy draft is there, that the Giants and what they did in free agency on the defensive side, they may be able to go out and get an offensive player that may not have been here in the higher rounds, if you will, because of the defensive stock draft that it is. What do you think about that, Charles? You think I got a point, or do you think I should just maybe just not say that anymore?
No, you've got a point because they spent capital there, right? Olivier Vernon has to count for something, doesn't he? Okay,
yeah.
Just to get things started. if you want to try and help Eli out a little bit more, and now with Ben McAdoo as your head coach, I think there's going to be a lean. When I say a lean, maybe even an unconscious lean to make sure he has everything he needs. Randall's no longer there. How's Victor Cruz going to come back? You've got to provide more people. Do you think receiver at 10? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you look at that and say, look, Laquon Treadwell did not run extremely fast. We all want to hear that our receivers have jets. He's got excellent ball skills, loves the game, plays heavy determination. That's going to be something the Giants going to have to figure out, because Kelvin Benjamin was a bigger, taller target, ran faster than Laquon Treadwell, and we called him slow. But he's able to uncover because of his frame. The catch radius is bigger. So that's a question mark. Corey Coleman from Baylor can absolutely fly. Guys, he's run four routes in his career. Okay? Hitch,
go
slant.
And hitch, right? And go.
I mean, there's not a lot in that pass tree, but there's still the production is phenomenal. And one thing I've liked about him is excellent ball skills downfield, tougher to get down than you might think looking at his frame. And last but not least, if you plug in the film, you'll see him move back to tailback at times and run inside zone plays. So there's a toughness to him. Good. Does he have the maturity that you're going to need to handle New York and also to adopt a full route tree that he's going to need to run in the NFL? So those are guys that I would look at there. I'm not sure Josh Dotson from TCU rises up to 10. He's a very good player. But if I'm picking a receiver at 10, I might err on the side of the guy who can flat out run like a Coleman. It may be a Treadwell. Dependability factor, you might be thinking Treadwell. So that's a possibility for him there. And as I said before, Ezekiel Elliott, if he's not off the board at 10, I'm sitting in that room saying, guys, I don't know if I can pass him up.
Sure.
I have to go get him. And we turn it loose from there. I heard that you guys talking before about having Shane Vereen and having whatever. I'm always an advocate. If I think the kid on the board is better than what I already have in my room,
get him.
I don't care how many of them I have in my room, I get him. And that's just how I roll.
Yeah.
Charles Davis joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Just a few more questions for you. And again, we so appreciate your time this afternoon, Charles. A name that keeps on surfacing in and around what the Giants might be able to do is Leonard Floyd, outside linebacker from Georgia. Now, you have him going 20th to the Jets. A few other people have him going 11th to the Chicago Bears. For Giants fans out there that aren't too familiar with him, kind of, you know, give us your thoughts on him, and do you think 10 is too soon? Do you think that maybe the Giants could trade down? But, again, you've got some people going Chicago at 11.
Yeah.
Is it too much of a risk that if the Giants maybe trade down? If this is their guy, would it be too risky to trade down?
There aren't that many pass rushers, pure pass rushers in this draft, Anita. So he fits in that area, okay? So because if you're saying, okay, I've got to draft a guy, am I going to take a gamble on it, if I call it a gamble, on a guy that I think that can give me double-digit sacks per year? And that's what I think people believe with Floyd. Long, angular, has the ability to put more weight on his frame, hasn't been used exclusively at outside linebacker at Georgia. He had to swing inside for some of the time there, which may have hurt his numbers. I think his best might be ahead of him, and that's why people are looking at him and saying, you know, 11's not out of line. You've got to get guys who can go get the quarterback. He would fit in there. If you're going to trade down and think you'll get him later, it's a little bit of a gamble just because of the pass rushing situation. See, Joey Bosa is not a pure pass rusher, but he's one of the better ones with the combo that you have in this draft. That's one of the reasons he rates so highly. If he's in a different draft with a bunch of guys who go get the quarterback like crazy, his value would be down a little bit, but still a terrific football player.
For our fans, give us one of your wild cards here. Who are we going to see in that first round, or maybe the top of the second round, that some people go, they scratch their head and go, where did this guy come from?
Oh, man.
I know that's a tough one, because, I mean, we've got a lot of people that people talk about in that first round, we know for sure. But is there just someone there that is kind of like, it just keeps popping up on your board and you're sitting there going, why does this guy's name just keep coming to me, you know?
Tyler Boyd, wide receiver, Pitt.
Tyler Boyd. All right.
Well, and that leads to my final question for you. And a lot of people feel that the Giants are, you know, because there's so many question marks about Victor Cruz being healthy, Charles, that the Giants will address a wide receiver in the draft. You know, Diggs, who really became, what, the Minnesota Vikings' number one option, fourth rounder last year. Those guys few and far between, needle in the haystack, diamond in the rough. They're out there. Is that your guy? And if so, at what point is that? Is he a second rounder, projected third rounder? Where do you think he'd go if the Giants are eyeing him as well?
I think the Giants would think of him as a second, third rounder. I do. And he's a guy that I've liked a bunch because I think he's got superior ball skills. I think that he's been a number one receiver in college that'll make the adaptation to the NFL. He doesn't have to be the number one guy. Plus, he has to run, quote unquote, that stopwatch doesn't say number one. Mm-hmm. But toughness, ability to go get the football. People will overlook him a little bit because we're always looking for the guys that can flat out run. Well, we don't have it this year. You know, You heard Bruce Arians. This is the slowest crop of receivers we've had in 20 years.
Yeah.
If you want to take a gamble on a guy who can flat out run and you get deeper into the draft, let's go to day three, rounds 4 through 7. Remember the name Colby Listenbee from TCU, a 10, 100 meters guy who can flat out fly, who got better as a football player during his career at TCU. I got to watch him develop in front of my eyes. He's a guy that I would pencil in and say, hey, we might have to take a look at a guy like that down the road. I don't think you take him in the first 2 days, though.
And I believe that the Giants will take a receiver on in those second and third rounds because I feel like they're still at a need in this draft to go with the first two rounds. They got to go out and get some very guys that can play. But I really believe that there's such a question mark with the Giants' perspective at the receiving position because of Victor Cruz. We know what OBJ can do, but behind that, there's not a lot of depth on this team that they really believe in. So I feel like that's probably where they're going to get somebody in that second or third round, and it could be, you know, maybe a sleeper, maybe one of your guys. Who knows?
Charles, thank you.
Who knows? There'll be a bunch of them out there, as you well know, because colleges throw the ball now more than ever. So there's always a bunch of guys. Remember, Antonio Brown was a sixth-round guy.
I want that receiver that's going to go after the football and fight for it. You know, that's the kind of guy
exactly.
I want.
Exactly.
So.
Charles, thank
that's
you.
The, well, that's
thank
what you're getting,
so
Tyler Boyd. I can tell you that, Jeff. And thank you, Anita. And thank you, Jeff. You guys take care.
You
really,
too.
Really
thank you, Charles. And good luck with everything.
Charles Davis joining us.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, these guys eat and sleep this stuff. You know, we get to talk about it every once in a while, but, you know, every day I'm sure these guys are walking, you know, to work or they get out of bed and they something they think of. And next thing you know, their mock draft 94 comes up. And, yeah, it's a fun time for them. And like he said earlier, Anita, you know, it doesn't cost them anything to do this. You know, the money being spent is all on the organizations because it is quite a science, if you will, and it's a tough one.
Want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Still have about 15 minutes left in the show, so get your calls in, 201-939-4513. In the meantime, I do want to address some Twitter.
Anybody like what we're doing today?
Hashtag Giants Chat. Giants need consistent playmakers on offense surrounding Eli and Odell. Absolutely, AJ. Solid tweet.
And I agree. I agree. It's in a playmaker meeting. It could be who's ever on this team. That was the theme last year that was missing. Where is the playmaking going on? Oh, OBJ, we know that. But where are the other guys making plays?
Anita Marks has a man crush on Miles Jack. She
of
talks
course.
About him every time she's on the show. I do.
Yes.
I do.
You make no qualms about it. You do. Yes.
That's who I want the Giants.
And why wouldn't you? The guy jumps 40 inches in the air with a 90.
With a bad knee.
Yeah.
With a freshly reconstructed knee, whatever the case may be. Let's pretend that Ezekiel Elliott is off the board. Do you think the Giants still are going to draft a running back in the later rounds?
In the later rounds? No, I don't. I don't. I think it's all or nothing there. I think if he's there, they get him. If not, then I don't think they will.
What else can I pull up here?
I just feel like, you know, Coach McAdoo keeps telling everybody, don't give up on Andre Williams. You know, I know a lot of people have given up on him, and he didn't do a lot last year. But, you know, when you hear a coach talk about a guy like that, you know, I think that they still believe in him, and they're going to give him a chance. We obviously know what happened at the end of the year. So I think that, you know, they were looking for that kind of production out of somebody. They finally got it, but I think that this is going to be – we know who the starter is going to be. We know Vereen's going to be there. I just think that if Elliott's available, they go get him, like Charles said. If he's sitting there and he's better than any of the guys that are on your roster, you got to grab him.
This is from Ben. Jeff, why wait to re-sign Josh Brown?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things going into that. I feel like everybody that's a free agent, myself included, we all want a lot of money. And so I think that once the chips kind of fall where they may and things just kind of settle down, the Giants are in no need or hurry. I think they have they've talked. I just think that it's just a matter of formality, getting the contract done, and hopefully Josh Brown can be a Giant again, because, you know, he's pretty constant. That guy can nail some kicks. So we'll see what happens. But why wait as long? I think that there was more fish to fry, if you will, than Josh Brown right now.
And really quick, before we do finish off with the calls, I just want to share with you earlier.
Your orange sheet.
Yes. Earlier on the show, I shared with you some of the comments and things that were discussed this morning with the defensive coaches. Really quick, the offensive coaches. Today, the coaches and coordinators were made available to the media. So Sully, offensive coordinator, met with the media. He said a few things that he feels this offense needs to do better. Number one, better in the green zone. He did say red zone. So there's still some, you know.
Some Tom
in the building. But green zone, apparently the Giants were 29th in the league in the green zone. So they want to better that. Also, third down, they were 22nd in the league in converting on third down. And he said the way that they're going to do that, and this isn't, we know this, is that being more productive and more successful on first and second down. Yeah. So that you're third and short for Eli and the crew. And then number three is getting their running game going, running the ball better. Those are the three areas of concern for Sully that he wants to see improvement in coming into the season.
The third one will help the second one, okay? And the two combined, the second and the third, should help their first one, is in the green zone. Because the Giants were unable to run the football in the green zone last year, not only to score touchdowns, but to make a first down. Remember, the green zone is the 20-yard and in. You're able to make at least one first down in there, guys. Maybe two, right? First 10, two. Go for it. Jeez.
Also, no decision yet in regards to the play calling.
Let's just let that one die until we hear it, because it's just not going to – people keep asking about that.
I think it's going to be Ben, but we just don't know.
Why wouldn't it be? Right. I mean, come on. I mean, Sully will be there, but, I mean, obviously they're going to work together in the offseason and during the game. I don't know why it wouldn't be, you know. I feel that he has enough confidence in his other coaches and being able to take over if he has to make some sort of an adjustment in the game time situation as the head coach. And that'll be a learning process for him. He's never been a head coach in the National Football League and run a game that way. But he also saw McCarthy do it at Green Bay. So he's probably got a lot of experience there that he can rely on.
Offensive line, Sully said he's excited about the consistency on the left side. Of course, we're talking about Flowers, Pugh, Richburg. Obviously, the big concern is the right side. Bobby Hart needing a little bit more maturity, going to have an opportunity to compete for that right guard position, but they want to see a jump in the maturity of Bobby Hart. And then as it stands right now, Marshall Newhouse is that right tackle right now.
And there'll be a competition there at right guard. I mean, you got John Jerry and you got, Bobby Hart, both the opposite, you know, ends of the spectrum. You got a veteran, you got a young guy developing. Bobby Hart, you know, guys that are drafted in the seventh round are drafted for a reason in the seventh round. There's something missing there, and hopefully the team that drafts them can improve on what that missing component is. Maybe it is the maturity that you talked about. We'll see.
As I said earlier, Kevin Gilbride Jr., was talking about there will be a competition at the tight end position. It's not Will Tye's position to lose. It will be a competition with him and Larry Donnell, barring health, of course.
If I'm Will Tye, I'm saying to myself, this is my position to lose because of how I played last year, and that's the attitude that young man should have. He really should.
Frank Cignetti, who's the new quarterback coach, talks a lot about Eli Manning, the fact that he's coming into his third season, and understanding the reads a lot better and being more decisive in his decisions. So really excited. That's why I want to say it was last week you heard Ben McAdoo say that expectations for Eli Manning are even bigger and better coming into this season, and a big reason for that is because he's been in this system for 3 years.
But I throw a little bit of caution to the wind on this one, and I'll tell you why. I got one receiver that knows this, two receivers that know this system very well. That is Beckham and Harris. In between there, I don't know where the other guys are that are going to, you know, so this concerns me a little bit, even though it's, their third season, but I got to get guys in here and start working with Eli Manning other than the guys I mentioned. So that to me is a little bit of a, you know, because it's one thing to have things on paper, but it's another thing to have them in game experience and being able to work with these guys. And Eli has always done this in the offseason. He gets the receivers together and they go out and they start doing stuff on their own. And that's probably going to happen again, and it should. But you got to get we got to find some receivers here, or get those young guys to come in and start working with them.
Last but not least, Adam Henry, the new wide receiver coach, had a chance to talk to him. And he's LSU wide receiver coach. Big reason why he was brought in, his relationship between him and Odell Beckham Jr. And he said he's here to make things better for Odell. As impossible as that might seem, still has not reached his ceiling. So excited for him to be working with Odell, reunite with Odell, and that's exciting.
And I feel like that was a great move, because, you know, this is Odell's third season coming in. We obviously know what he's done as a professional. Now it's when, you know, the third, fourth, fifth years of somebody's career is when this ascension starts. He ascended very early, but you're right. This guy has been with him, can kind of bring him down to a level. Kind of, we saw what happened last year in the Panthers game. You know, those things can happen. And when you have a guy that's worked with somebody in the past.
Trust.
Exactly. And you know what?
Trust.
Another one, you got Coach Walton with Jenkins. Those guys have a relationship. Part of the building process in free agency, when you talk about character and putting teams together and going after players, is you look at your own staff and say, where is these guys? Any of these guys have coached these guys? Maybe. And if it happens to be, it's a win-win, you know? I guarantee you, Coach Walton was the one taking Jenkins out on a free agent visit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These are the things that kind of get these guys to come and sign with the team.
All right. Let's head back out to our phone lines, 201-939-4513. Also, again, just a reminder, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, we'll pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Let's go to line two. Jerome is calling in from Carolina. Jerome, welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing? I just want to say I love your show. I listen to you every chance I get, every day.
Thank you.
My biggest thought on some of the ones we had last season and, you know, some before, now that the price done dropped tremendously, are they looking to call in people and, you know, saying what, you know, they, you know, willing to come back for a good bargain, or, you know, like, is they still calling people in on the offense or still on defense right now?
Well, I think – I don't know that's for a fact, though, but I will tell you that it's constant. It may not be like, you know, Tuesday's offensive day and Wednesday's a defensive guy. They're constantly looking at teams that are releasing players, guys that are – so it's a turnstile in this building right now. It really is. And, you know, and a lot of times, too, the upper management, they sometimes are not in town. They're at owners' meetings. They're at, you know, these kinds of things. So – There's a timeline when these guys start coming in the building, and, you know, we catch wind of it every once in a while, but a lot of it's under the radar. It really is. But thanks for calling.
Well, what about the Hosey? He's not signed yet, right? Are he in contract?
I believe Hosley is still under contract. I mean, he's still on his rookie deal, right? No, he's gone. Okay. Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent, so we haven't heard much about him. But we'll
thank
see.
You, thank you for your call. Let's go on to line four, Greg from Virginia.
Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Okay,
good. How are you?
Good. Hey Jeff, I just was curious. I'm with Anita, just for the record, on needing Miles Jack, but
sure.
And I'm also a supporter of with this specific team. We need impact players. Maybe that's not my theory every draft.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, you need real playmakers, and I think he's one of the very few. He's actually, in my opinion, probably the only one on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not that high on Bosa. But if you don't do that, and Elliott's available, you have to. He is that style player. He actually just had an interview on NFL.com, and they asked him about playing for the Giants, he said he'd like to slip to them because him, Odell, and Eli would win the Super Bowl in short order, which I believe to be true. He's just a very special player. And Jennings is 31. Williams in 2 years is out of the league. And you don't put Darkwa and Breen to keep you from a player that, you know, has a better possibility or a better career than like Matt Forte, you know, maybe sure. Todd AP, but he's people are comparing him to Forte or better.
Well, I tell you what, you know, it goes on the philosophy that I tried to mention earlier in the show is that what philosophy is the Giants are going to go for this year? You know, do they, and if that guy is sitting there and you feel that he's the best on the board and he's better than the guys that are on your team in your mind or can be better than the guys on your team, then like Charles said, you take him and you fit him in that offense. And you know what? You don't look back. And,
exactly.
And it's not like you're taking a chance on this guy. I mean, he's a proven winning player.
He's all around.
Yeah.
And there's some I want to make this point about, you know, we're talking about rotational players, and you can make the argument that, well, we have four running backs, and each of them have a skill. And if you combine them into one person, then, yes, you would have an all-around back. But Ezekiel Elliott and Shane Vereen, even if that was your rotation, then the defense can't key on what you're doing because they can both catch the ball and they can both run the ball. And that's better than having Williams come in and having the defense load up in 2 yards in a pile of dust. And then, you know, Jennings drops the screen ball a lot. And so there's something to not giving the defense an advantage just by which backs you have on the field.
Sure. Well, you know what? I think a lot of people, and we got to get going because we got a couple more people to get to. But I feel like that, you know, I don't think you can miss on that pick. I really don't. And we'll just have to see what happens with the Giants if he's there. I mean, you look at the teams that are ahead of the Giants and wanting a running back. You know, are the Cowboys going to go for a running back because of what happened with DeMarco Murray the last couple of years? I mean, I don't know, but he might be there. He might be there, Anita. Who knows?
Let's go to Lynn. Lynn, I apologize. You got to keep this short. I know that's not typically what you like to do, but I did want to get you on. So,
well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You guys probably know this, but I'm of a certain age that I really don't care about 2018, 2019, and where these guys are going to be, what kind of player they're going to be. I want a player in 2016.
Good.
It's time, guys. It's time.
You want a guy to make some plays.
We need a guy to step on the field and make a contribution, not a year in the weight room type guy, a position change type guy, a tweener type guy, somebody who steps on the field and contributes big time. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Anita knows I like Treadwell. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that maybe Elliott is there. I think this draft starts at number 8 for the Giants. Whatever the Eagles do, then the dominoes fall. There's 6 or 8 guys in there. But it's for me, it's all about 2016. There's a lot of guys in that building that you're in right now are on the hot seat. They better come up with a big-time contributor at some position in 2016. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for
Lynn,
taking my call. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
No problem, Lynn. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
I do disagree with Lynn on this. I think really how these dominoes might fall, I think it starts with Jacksonville at 5, whether or not they take Miles Jack.
Yeah, because I think the teams below them or, you know, after that, or, you know, it is. It's he could be the wild card in this whole draft in the first 10 or 12 picks.
I think Jacksonville at 5, even though we just heard from Charles Davis, and he was saying that he's feeling that the Ravens really want a defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. So whether that's Buckner or Bosa, whatever the case may be, and also I think Tampa Bay. I think those are Jacksonville, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, if those three teams pass up on Miles Jack, then maybe he falls to 10.
Maybe he falls
to 10. Willing
and you
this,
fall in love.
Am I willing this to happen?
Yes, you are. But, you know, you're not – listen, willing means that there's probably a slim to none chance that it's going to happen. There is a chance that it could happen. So
what are your plans for this weekend, my friend?
Well, I was going to play golf on Sunday, but it's going to be freezing.
Is it supposed to snow at some point? Oh, it's 70.
I guess it's still a little bit early, right?
It was 70 yesterday, but it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
But I just going to hang out. We got a little lacrosse season that started at the high school, so we got lacrosse games, and that's about it. So It'll be good. We didn't get to get to Charlie. Charlie, I'm sorry. We'll get to you next Friday. I know your weekend will now be not as good because you didn't get to talk to me, but we'll get you next week.
March Madness?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got to go for the Tar Heels, my son's school. And other than that, I don't really care who else. I'd like to see Carolina win. Who do you think? You like Carolina?
I think Syracuse is a really phenomenal story, but
Villanova?
I think it's Villanova and UNC.
I'd like to see it, but and Oklahoma.
If UNC wins, I win a few of my pools, so that's who I'm rooting for.
But I tell you what, Oklahoma is with Buddy. That guy can shoot, man. Wow. So it'll be fun. It'll be a fun weekend, and we'll do it again.
Fantastic. For all of us here at Giants, wishing everybody out there a fantastic weekend. Don't forget, log on to Giants.com. A number of the interviews with a lot of the coaches. I know we shared a lot of the topics that they discussed today, but Bob Papa sat down with a number of them. You can see those interviews on Giants.com, and we'll be back with you on Monday right here on Giants.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.